Now, please get your Bibles and let's all turn together to Psalm 119 to verses 153 through 160. Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160. Let's again this evening give our careful hearing to the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Thus ends the reading of God's word. There is a difference in having a long life and having a good life. That is, someone might live many years, but those years are very hard years. Someone else might live a relatively short amount of years, but those years are actually very good years. The difference, the way we talk about that, the difference we might say is the difference between quantity and quality. It's one thing to live a long time. It's another thing, though, to have really good years. In fact, most people in the world would trade quantity for quality. They would rather live even a short amount of years, if those are good years, versus just living long, hard years. But a deeper and more important question is, what actually is life? What is life? When we talk about the difference between a certain quantity of years or a certain quality of years, most of the time when we talk about life and when we ask those types of questions, what we're talking about is what we might call basic biological breathing life. That is, just being alive like we are here this evening. We're sitting here, we're seeing things, we're existing as we're here tonight. But if that's all that we think about when we think about life, then we actually have a very shallow view of life. And we haven't thought very deeply about what it means to live. What life actually is. Ironically and sadly, I have known of unbelievers that have heard Christians talk about how Jesus can give you eternal life, and to them, that does not sound good. In other words, they don't like their lives. They've had a hard life, or they don't like something about them. So the idea of somehow living on forever and ever, well, that just doesn't sound like good news to them at all. That's not an attractive prize to win or something. So again, what is life? Well, some of the most profound words ever written are those that are found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Some of the most profound words relative to that question, what actually is life? Genesis 2, verse 7, I have it there on your outline. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. That's life. Being made alive, being made a living creature by the purposeful act of God. That is, and this statement in Genesis absolutely contradicts the idea that life is the random organization of matter, or that it is just simply cellular interaction that creates a pulse. Life is a particular act of God wherein He creates a living being for His own purpose and for His own glory. And that is true of you tonight as you sit here. If you are here and if you are alive, there is a purpose and there is a reason why you are here, why you are alive. Behind your life, in other words, behind your existence, just your breathing, behind all of that is the deliberate and purposeful action of God. And that means then that your life is actually inseparable from God. Life itself is inseparable from God. You may think that you can live without God, or you might think that He's absolutely irrelevant to your life, but actually it's the case that you live and you move and you have your being in Him and from Him. And thus, every life, all of life, is a matter of some type of relationship to God. And therefore, life actually cannot be boiled down to the question or this kind of tension between a matter of quantity or quality. Because life is something much deeper. Life is something more purposeful. Life is even, we can even say, life is incomprehensibly mysterious. In fact, the questions of quality and quantity can only be important, and they can only make sense if life's true purpose is assumed about life. And that true purpose of life, your life and my life, is we exist. We have been given life. If you're here, if you're alive, you've been given life for the purpose of glorifying God and enjoying relationship with Him, the author of life, forever. That is, to live in a vibrant and an engaging communion with the triune God. And I believe that the psalmist knows these things. And that is why getting life, the desire, this crying out for life, is absolutely important to him. It's so important, this desire for vibrant, living communion and fellowship with God is so vital to him. Notice, and maybe you did as I read, notice he cries out three times for it here in just these eight verses. Look at verse 154. Give me life according to your promise. Verse 156. Give me life according to your rules. And verse 159. Give me life according to your steadfast love. Do you ever pray this way? You're a Christian congregation. Do you ever pray this way? Do you ever pray for life? Do you ever cry out to the living God for life? Do you sense even maybe tonight that there is something more than what you have and how you've been living, that there must be something deeper, something more than just the mundane, the things that you've been going through day after day, the way that you live your life now? Well, if you desire more, then you should be wondering right now. And maybe this is just beginning to turn on a light bulb. Maybe you're just now thinking, maybe there is more to life than what I've been living. Well, if you begin to wonder in those ways and think about that, then right now that a big question on your mind should be, well, if there is more than the life I've been living, then how do I get it? How do I actually enter into that deeper, that more engaging communion with the living God, if that's what life is about? Well, I think this little section before us here shows us a basic and a very simple answer to that question. And the first step in getting this life, the first step in living a life that's worthy of that name, is a consciousness of need. A consciousness of need. Verses 153 through 155 here are a clear recognition of need. The psalmist, we have to assume, is alive and breathing in the biological sense. I mean, he's written this, but clearly he needs help, and he clearly cannot solve his problem and his need by himself. So he's crying out for it. And that acknowledgement of need is actually it's maybe even particularly against the prevailing philosophy of our day. We have imbibed the evolutionary idea that the strong survive. We live in a nation of self-made men. We love strength, from this election, apparently arrogance and self-reliance. So the notion of life that is promoted today in our culture is one of health and wealth and power and pleasure. We are taught, and sometimes we teach our children this in an unqualified way, that good things come to those who work hard for them. But that is not the philosophy of life that is being articulated here. Verses 153 through 155 describe one who is convinced that he has a great need, and he shows his dependency on God and his recognition that if I'm going to get life, then God has to give it to me. I can't make it myself. I can't get what I need by my own hand. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked. They do not seek your commandments, your statutes. I think that there are two things that, among many more, but I think there are at least two things, at least along the theme that I want us to consider this evening, two things that must be seen here. The first I've already mentioned, and that is that the kind of life that is sought here is not one that would be comprehended in wealth, health, power and pleasure. But rather, the psalmist here is seeking something much deeper and much more significant than that. And that then brings up a second thing. And that is, the second thing is the what I'm going to call the corresponding truths of verse 155. The corresponding truths of verse 155. Listen to it again. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Now again, I want to acknowledge, I am sure there is much more here. And there is much to be said here, but one basic matter that we might note in this verse is the contrast between the wicked and the psalmist. And let me state it this way. What I'm trying to get at, this second thing, these corresponding truths that I think are here in verse 155, this is the difference. If we do not seek the statutes of the Lord, then you will never know your need of salvation. If you don't seek the statutes of the Lord, you'll never know your need of salvation. The Bible is very clear that salvation comes to those who call on the name of the Lord, to those that are conscious of their need for Him. The way that we become conscious of our need is that we are told of our need in the Word of God. It's His statutes that actually reveal to us our need. We could say it this way: God diagnoses us. He gives us the diagnosis, and then He prescribes the help, the remedy for our problem. That is, He shows us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. His law condemns all so that He could then have mercy on all. If you don't seek the statutes of the Lord, salvation will be far from you. So one must be conscious of their need to ultimately get true life, which brings us to the next thing that we see here, and that is, if you're filling in that blank, a cry to be given life. We have a consciousness of need, but then a cry to be given life. And we see this in those three dramatic cries. Again, verse 154, give me life according to your promise. Verse 156, give me life according to your rules. Verse 159, give me life according to your steadfast love. Now I think that it could be, and it would be, a profitable and edifying exercise to look into each of these cries and bring out the details of each of the according to's, we might say, the according to your promise, according to your steadfast love, according to your rules. That would be a very worthwhile study and pursuit. But for sake of time this evening, I think we should just marvel at and consider the simple matter of whose each of these are. In other words, let's take a moment, just a moment, to consider the great your that's before each of them. In a word, and when we do that, we can see that the psalmist is pleading directly with God Himself for life. He is acknowledging his need, and he now pleads with the Lord Himself for that life. Or we might say that herein he is acknowledging that there really is only one source of this life that he desires, and that is the Lord Himself. Now, again, I keep bringing this up, but He is alive as He cries out here. So again, He can't merely be asking for biological breathing life. Rather, he's crying out for a reviving of that glorious, purposeful, divinely given life that comes originally and only from the living God himself. Indeed, as the notion of life is unfolded in the Bible, this idea of life, it becomes clearer that the life that those who know God want, the life that one who is in relationship with God wants, the life that a believer wants can be defined simply as, I want, because I've tasted a little bit of it, I want infinite communion with the living God himself. That's life. That's what I desire above everything, is infinite communion with the living God himself. It's a desire to know him more and be in deeper and everlasting communion with him. And thus, everything about this section and these pleas is actually all about God himself. That is, the psalmist is crying out ultimately for God himself. If he gets God, he has life. And thus, this section ends fittingly, finally, with a confidence in God. There's a consciousness of need, there's a cry to be given life, and there is then a statement of confidence in God. The psalmist is resting on God's grace for life. He has promised in his word life and restoration and a restored communion. And so the psalmist is resting on God's word as everlasting truth. And we see that there in verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Again, I think the psalmist has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Thus he trusts him. He desires more of him. He cries out to him for life. Now, as we conclude this evening, I would like to confront you again with the question, and my prayer tonight is that you'll actually ask yourself it, and you'll heed the question, and that is, where are you at with your thinking about your life? What do you think about when you think about life and living? Did you sit here tonight? Have you thought? Have you reflected on what is the purpose of my life? Why am I alive tonight? Why do I breathe? Why do I have existence? Have you ever thought about that? Has it been a while since you've thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? Do you acknowledge, as you sit here tonight, that you actually have a need? I mean, as you sit here, do you actually desire more of God himself? Again, as you're here tonight, do you have confidence in the trustworthiness of God himself as the author and the giver of life? Jesus said to the religious people of his day, "You search the scriptures in vain, because in them you think that you have eternal life. But they are that which speak of me. But you refuse to come to me so that you might have life." You know, you could come to church all the time. You can read the word extensively. You can study it. You You can immerse yourself in it, and you can still not have life. Jesus said very clearly, if we refuse to come to Him, we will not have life. You cannot hide behind doctrine. You can't hide behind a church membership. You can't hide behind generations of family. Jesus said, again, you search the Scriptures in vain because you miss Me. You refuse to come to Me, Jesus says, so that you might have life. In fact, Jesus offered, Jason quoted this morning at the end of his message, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus pled, come to Me, all who are burdened, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. In fact, Jesus said that life, eternal life, in fact, was relationship with God through Him. John 17:3, and this is what eternal life is. Eternal life is not just living forever. This is what eternal life is, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. Life is communion with God. Life is relationship, vital, living, loving relationship with God. That is what life is. So again, I want you to think about yourself tonight. Maybe you're here and you have absolutely no clue what the meaning of life is. You've never thought about it. Well, if that's you, then you need Jesus tonight. If you've hardly ever thought about things like this before, then you need Jesus. He is the one who is life itself. Or it could be that you've actually thought about these things before a lot, but you've messed up your life majorly. You desperately know that you have a need tonight because you've ruined your life or you've ruined the lives of others around you. And if that's the case with you tonight, you know these things, but you think, I've just messed it up too bad. Well, you need Jesus tonight as well. The glorious, gracious offer of God is that if a man turns around, it's in the passage we opened with tonight, it's not what you think. It's what God, it's how God thinks. God is a God of grace who restores. You might think, I've messed my life up too much. He says, no, you're perfect for My grace. Return to Me. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Or thirdly, it could be that you've thought about these things. You sit here tonight, yeah, I've thought about those things a bit. I'm not like entirely clueless. And I haven't entirely... Maybe I haven't wrecked my whole life and those I love around me. But you know tonight that you need a closer walk with the very source and author of life. You know there's more. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. Then you need Jesus tonight as well. You're alive, but you're not really living. And you want to walk, a communion with God that actually makes a difference. You want to live a life that actually shows on a day-to-day way that you are in communion with the living God. Well, you need Jesus. You need to come to Him who calls out to you, come to Me. And when you come, and when you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, your trust in God will grow. Your appetite for deeper life and communion with God, that will just grow. And that will cause you to cry out to Him further that you want more, which will make you love Him more and keep you coming back for more. You see, life is ultimately to be found and lived in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am that life. I am that thing that you are missing. I am that thing you need. I'm that thing you sense. But there's got to be more. And so come to Him who promises life and that more abundantly. When we come to Him, we can then say, and this is, I found it interesting, Jason, the call to worship this morning was Galatians 2:20. When we actually have Christ, that becomes our confession. That becomes the way we talk about and think about our lives. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to close this evening by just reading the passage devotionally, not in a technical interpretation or translation, but just in light of Christ. And so we'll conclude with this. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget my Savior Jesus. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to the gospel. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek Christ. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to the righteousness of Christ. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from faith in Jesus. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not love Christ. Consider how I love Him. Give me life in Him. Jesus is the truth, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, we confess truly, with You is the fountain of life. In Your light we see light, and our lives are blessedly hidden in Christ. Father, give us a greater affection and desire for Jesus. Create a greater desire for life in Him within us. Please forgive us for our waywardness and our seeking life in empty pursuits. And Father, please change us tonight and make us, even this week, may it be then, we progress in glorifying You and in enjoying You more fully, truly living life. And we do pray tonight in the name of life itself, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.